Good afternoon, guys. Welcome to the show. This is Sean Aday, and it's Friday, August 29th, 2014, and I am back. Sean Aday listeners, this is Sean Aday, but it's also weekly briefly because it's Friday episode. I've been gone for the last 2 weeks. My wife and my kids and I spent some time in Colorado. About 2 weeks ago, I had my fantasy football draft every year. I've been a part of a fantasy football league now for, I don't know, it's like close to a decade maybe. Maybe not quite that long, maybe like 7 or 8 years, something. And it's kind of grown. It's a little insane. It's a little crazy. And over the years, a lot of the guys that are in the league have kind of moved away. We all used to live in Kansas City now. One of the guys lives in upstate New York. A couple of the guys have moved to Colorado. A couple of the guys are now in Los Angeles. So last year, we decided, hey, let's all go to New York and we'll do the draft there. And so we went up to upstate New York and we're out on the lake, Canandaigua, ate, you know, wings, pizza, had a lot of fun. And we do an auction draft every year. It's a keeper league, but with auction draft and a lot of fun. And then this year, we all went to Breckenridge, Colorado, which was just so great, so awesome, which is kind of like my old stomping grounds, you know, Colorado's where I'm from. And then my wife and I tacked on an additional week, and we stayed out and hung out with family. And my grandfather, he turned 85 last week, so got to hang out with them and then drove home to Kansas City. But then I actually had an overnight trip over to Baton Rouge for this project I'm working on with some old friends of mine, doing some marketing stuff for them. So anyways, I'm back. Just wanted to say hi. So on Monday, with the Sean Aday episode on Monday, we're going to pick back up with the series we've been doing on the power of a focused life. Really looking forward to that one. We kind of took the first like 11 or 12 episodes for that series, you know, and talked a whole bunch about, like, you know, the five components of a focused life, when, you know, talking about having your life goals, your life visions, your action plans, your daily schedule, your daily habits and things like that. And so now we're kind of moving on to kind of a different tone, and it's a little bit more nuts and bolts. And, you know, not that the five components are nuts and bolts, but I feel like the next section of things that we're going to talk about for this series is it's more like the, I don't even know how to describe it, but you know, some of the topics that I want to hit on, they're a little bit more, maybe a little bit shorter burst episodes, a little bit more focused on just one specific type of idea, such as, you know, for example, like the tyranny of the urgent, or we'll talk about having deep personal integrity, talk about, you know, making forward progress and the importance of that. I'll talk about like rest versus work, and some other things like that. So that'll all kick off again on Monday. So you know, those of you who are, you know, been wondering, hey, where's Sean for the last 2 weeks? Now you know, and you know what's coming. So for today's show, I wanted to do the topic is, for today's show, it's the hit list episode, and basically wanted to talk about some of the really, really cool things that I'm using right now that I've tried and stuff like that. So kind of like a nerdy episode, like a geeky episode, talk about a few things. So before I jump into that, of course I want to thank this week's sponsor for the site, for Tools and Toys, for SeanBlanc.net, and for the show as well. It's an app. It's a Mac app called Tapes. And what it is, it's a screencast sharing app. It's actually really, really cool. I think listeners of the show appreciate, you're familiar with the term, like an app that does one thing and does that one thing very well. That's exactly what Tapes is. Basically what it does is it lets you take a screencast recording on your Mac, and all you do, you hit Shift-Command-2, which is really similar. You know, Shift-Command-4 is how you grab a screenshot. Shift-Command-2 is how you you set it up with Tapes, and that's how you do the screencast. You can draw the area on your screen that you want to screencast, that you want to record for the visual side of it, and you just draw that area, and then you start. You just do whatever you need to do. You can talk. You don't have to talk. You move the mouse around. You activate the programs, whatever it is that you're recording, and then as soon as you're done, right, you hit the key command and you're done, and boom, it uploads that to they've got servers with Amazon S3. It uploads it right away and gives you a shareable link right away. And so basically the whole point here isn't it's like it's not this super high def, you know, incredible, robust, feature-rich screen sharing app. It's just very, very simple. You go, you know what? I want to take a screencast real quick because a movie, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, a movie's worth 1,000,000 words. I just want to do this really quick screencast. I want to share it real quick, you know, in email or on Twitter or through iMessage, Basecamp, Slack, whatever it is you're using. And so you do that and then boom, it shares it. Really, really cool. So it's $10 on the Mac App Store. Check it out. I think you might like it if it sounds interesting. I've got it. I've tried it out. It's really cool. So you can find out more at usetapes.com. That's usetapes.com. Speaking of really cool things, that's kind of what I wanted the focus of today's show to be, is basically this this hit list of some of the stuff that I've been using, and especially the last 2 weeks, I've completely out of my normal day-to-day routine, my normal day-to-day rhythm. I was in Colorado, then, you know, traveling, doing road trips with the boys, flying to Baton Rouge and back. And I've got a lot of projects that I'm still involved. So it wasn't a full on vacation. Like, I wasn't disconnected. If you listened to last week's episode, I was talking about that a little bit. And so I had some work, you know, even on my vacation last week in Colorado, I still put in about a 30-hour work week just because of these other projects that I'm, helping manage and helping with some of my friends here. And so, so it kind of was like, hey, what are the things that, what are the things that remain in terms of, you know, I step away from my day-to-day routines. I'm not in Mars Edit all the time. I'm not necessarily on the web. I was trying to stay away from Twitter as much as I could. But what were the things that sort of remain, and what kind of stood out to me? What are some things that were part of my life for the last 2 weeks that were like, hey, this is really helpful. This is really cool. And one of the first, the big one is Basecamp, right? And I'm sure you're familiar with it. When I used to be the marketing director for the International House of Prayer, several years ago before I quit to start working from home and do the websites, we used Basecamp. We had a project about 17 people on my staff, and then we had a whole bunch. We had like 30 internal clients through the ministry. And so we used Basecamp, and at any given time, we had like 55 active projects, 55 active projects, right? Like, it was just craziness. And so basically I had like 2 people on my staff, almost their entire job was basically to manage Basecamp. And it was so, so helpful. And so here it is, 3 years later, since I quit that job to be working from home. And now with my websites, we've got the suite set up, tools and toys, JeanBlanc.net. And there's about 4 people now that are helping me with these sites that are regular, managers, contributors, editors, as well as we've got quite a few, contributing authors to the sites. And so, I've got Jeff and Chris and new guy, Bradley Chambers, who's just come on to help. And Stephen Hackett is a huge help as well. And so these guys, there's like 5 of us. And I'm like, man, let's start using Basecamp. Like, we're having discussions, we're sharing files, we're sharing stuff like that. And I was like, these are sort of like ongoing projects in a way. And so, so I set up a Basecamp account for us to kind of have like this shared, like the single place where, significant communication was happening, where, someone has an idea or a thought, we want to share it. Boom. We can, it's not like the quick back and forth communication. But it's for, as we're progressing on these projects and on these websites and working together and collaborating. And so we're using Basecamp for that. And I'm just so impressed with it's to me it's grown quite a bit since 3 years ago when I used to be using it. I'm using it again. I'm going, man, it's even better. And then I've got a few other projects that I'm managing as well. Some of this marketing stuff that I'm doing for some friends of mine that I mentioned. I'm using Basecamp for that, and it's just been super great. So for me, like that's a huge awesome thing that we're using right now is using Basecamp. Really happy with it. And then relatedly is, we're looking for some like communication tools, and we've gone back and forth between iMessage and we're using GroupMe right now. Considering trying out Slack. I read a really cool profile of the guy that started Slack and on Wired that Matt Honan wrote, and some cool stuff like that. So I don't know. We're still kind of figuring out the short term, simple kind of throwaway conversational stuff and things like that. And then something else we're using for all of the long form, the articles that we do on the suite setup is we used to use Editorially. We've done a whole bunch of research, and we're now using a service called PenFlip, which is based on GitHub. It's kind of like a collaborative markdown, writing app, and you can highlight words and leave comments and stuff like that. And it exists on, it's a web app. It's pretty cool. I'm not in love with it, but it's also pretty neat. So this kind of comprises sort of our group work flow. And so I was doing a lot of stuff in Basecamp. It works really well. The email stuff, the iOS apps for it are really great. I like to be able to work from my phone. I like to be able to work from my iPad when possible. And I'm really happy with Basecamp's iOS apps. So we got that. So one of the projects that is in Basecamp right now is actually a complete overhaul, complete redesign, complete rethinking of Tools and Toys. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that site, toolsandtoys.net. It's almost 3 years old now. Actually, I think it is 3 years old now. And it was, I started working from home in February 2011. And in like July or August 2011 was when I launched Tools and Toys. And it was basically, hey, I just want to do like fun, cool links to cool stuff, right? It's like it's stuff for guys. It's gear for guys, paraphernalia, stuff like that, right? And it hasn't really changed in the last 3 years, but I'm like, I've just had all these ideas for the site. I really think it could grow beyond just a, hey, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool, right? And so it's being completely redesigned, and it's moving more towards, instead of like a, just stuff for guys type of a site, it's moving more towards like a men's lifestyle magazine in a way. And so we're going to continue to have like the, stuff for guys, like the daily new, daily cool stuff, right? But we're also going to start doing more in-depth reviews of different gadgets, different bags and things like that, and as well start to do like some actual like articles. A friend of mine, Chris Bowler, is going to help with. I want to kind of approach like the issue of mindfulness, consumerism, and stuff like that. And I kind of feel like it's this two-sided coin, right? Because on the site, we're linking always to hey, this is cool, check this out, this is fun, this is neat. And so there's, I think there's place for that, right? Like that's fun, it's enjoyable. But I don't think anyone in their right mind really lives that way. Like we're not spending hundreds and thousands of dollars every single day just buying stuff, right? Like it's cool to check it out and whatnot. But at the same time, it's like I want to be mindful of the things that I purchase, the work that I put into it. And so it's almost like I want to have like this two-sided coin of, sharing and kind of oogling and gaga over some of the cool stuff that's out there, but also pointing out this is some of the best of the best. This is, something that we are using and we like it or we don't like it, whatever. So these product reviews and things like that, but then also discussing the issue of like mindfulness, simplicity, like being attentive to our consumer habits and things like that. And so I'm really, really excited about kind of where the site's going. So it's completely being redesigned to accommodate these different types of content. We're also going to start doing photo essays and, where it's like, say, here's a really cool coffee shop in Brooklyn and here's some awesome photos of that shop. And then, a little bit of information about what it's like and what it is, but letting the photos kind of tell the story. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be amazing. The design looks, it just looks completely different. It's so I'm just super excited about it. So we're using Basecamp, of course, for that. And so that's been on my radar, working really hard. Hopefully we'll have something around the beginning of October in terms of launching that site. I'm really looking forward to it. So we got that going on. That's one of the items on the hit list. The other is this amazing, speaking of gear, is this camera lens that I rented. While I was in Colorado, it was my grandfather's 85th birthday. And so I want to do some all the families in town. So I wanted to have like a really cool portrait lens. Plus my sister, who's a photographer, was doing some senior pictures for my cousin while she was there. And so she was going to borrow my camera. So I've already got the Panasonic Leica, the 25mm f1.4 lens for the Micro Four Thirds camera. So it's a 50mm equivalent. And so we rented the Olympus 75mm f1.8 lens, which is like, it's a $900 lens. It's big, it's metal, it's, it feels amazing. It's got this huge, huge piece of glass on the front. And it's just an absolutely incredible lens. It has, I don't think it's the, I still really, really love the 25 1.4. But you know, I've now shot with the pancake lens, the 21.8, a 21.7 lens, the pancake Panasonic lens. I've used the 25 1.4, which is like my main lens now. It's my daily shooter. I've rented the 45 1.8 Olympus lens. And I've also now rented the 75 1.8, and the 75 is absolutely incredible. It's, you know, I mean, it's a true portrait lens because it's a 150 millimeter equivalent. So you got to stand way back, to frame the shots, but the depth of field on it is just so nice. The quality and the sharpness of the images is absolutely great. It's really fast in terms of, you know, obviously it's a high aperture speed, and so it's fast in that regard, but it's also fast, like the autofocus on the Olympus camera is so great. And, you know, I found it pretty easy to do manual focus as well as the autofocus. Really, really in love with this lens. So I ended up actually calling up Lens Rentals, who I used to rent the lenses through. And I was like, hey, I want to keep it for another week. I don't want to send it back yet. So I've got it for another week. And at that point, you know, I'm like halfway through just to buying the stupid thing. Well, not quite halfway, but close. And so, that's kind of a bummer, but oh well, whatever. So it's a really, really great lens. So if you got a Micro Four Thirds camera, you're looking for a portrait lens, check it out. At least just rent it. It's so much fun. So, I'm going to do some more shots over the weekend. And then, I actually haven't even had a chance to go through any of my photographs yet from Colorado. So I'll be going through those maybe over the weekend and start putting some stuff up on Flickr so you can check it out later. So we got that. And then, let's see, what else? AT&T. This is my last thing, right? Who would think the last item on the hit list would be AT&T, unless it was like a hit list of companies that you wanted to be erased from the planet, right? Well, just kidding. So yesterday I'm flying back from Baton Rouge. And I'm trying to download a TV show onto my iPad to watch. I'm sitting in the airport, and so I streamed the pilot episode of season one of this show called Arrow, which I bet a lot of you guys are like, oh yeah, I've seen that. I've heard a little bit about it on Twitter. The season one's now on Netflix, so I checked it out, watched the pilot episode. Actually, really cool, like kind of dorky, but kind of cool, right? And I think most TV shows are like that, right? Like most TV shows are not just flat out awesome. Most TV shows have this element of like, it's a little dorky. But I kind of like that. I kind of prefer that because usually it means they're a little bit cleaner. They're a little bit more enjoyable, and they don't like suck you in emotionally. So Arrow is basically, it's a total, there's probably actually far more to it that I just don't even know. I don't know if there's like a comic book backstory to this. I don't know anything about it other than I watched the pilot episode on Netflix and really enjoyed it. So it's basically like this Batman type of scenario. This rich kid is, you know, lost for 5 years on some desert island. No one knows what happens to him. He finally gets found. He comes home. His city's like corrupt and there's all these, you know, bad mafia people. And the dude like knows jujitsu and kung fu and can shoot a bow and arrow like nobody's business. And so he becomes like this caped crusader, or he comes like a hooded crusader, you know, doing good and robbing from the rich and giving to the poor, type thing. And so it's, you know, it's very, very Bruce Wayne Batman-esque. And actually it's really cool. And I'm like, man, I would like to watch a couple more episodes on the plane. So I try to download, you know, some, you can buy a couple episodes on iTunes. But of course you can't download through LTE. They won't let you download the video files to watch. And airport Wi-Fi is a joke, right? Like just, you know, it's going to take an hour and a half to download a 29-minute episode. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, my iPhone should have this hotspot functionality. It turns out I'm not on the plan. It lets my iPhone have hotspot functionality. So I go to the, you know, log in my AT&T app and I'm like, well, you know, I'm on this trip, you know, it's business expense. Hey, I'll turn on Wi-Fi hotspot, for the rest of the trip. And I can, and then use the LTE on my iPhone to then do a, you know, then let my iPad connect to the LTE on my iPhone to download the episodes. Then I can watch the show on my iPad on the flight home. So that was my plan, right? So I log in and go to the AT&T website and I'm looking, and the plan that my wife and I have been on for the last several years So, you know, we got the data plan, we got unlimited messaging. I think we've got like 450 minutes a month, which we don't even touch that hardly at all. And then we each have 2 gigabytes of data for our phones. And there's this thing, it's going, hey, you know, you should get, it's recommending this different thing. It says you should get the shared data plan, Sean. You know, we recommend this new plan for you, the shared data. And basically it's similar to messages and minutes, where it's just this pool, and then everyone on your plan pays a little, you know, you pay like a one fee for the size of the pool that you have of shared data, and then you pay a little bit extra for everyone that's on that plan. And so it's recommending the 10 gigabyte shared plan for my wife and I and our two phones. And it's actually, and it includes, so you got, we went from 2 gigs per phone per month to now 10 gigs total shared. So basically 5 gigs per phone per month. And then also we get free hotspot, you know, tethering with our phones. And it's actually $15 a month cheaper than my previous plan. So I actually ended up dropping my monthly bill by 15 or 20 bucks, and then more than doubling our data cap. And I also now have the Wi-Fi, the hotspot tethering for my phone, which is amazing. So now I'm also going to drop the hotspot tethering that's on my iPad. You know, I pay the 20 bucks a month to Verizon to have that hotspot functionality. Now that I'm talking about it, I just realized what I'm actually paying for is LTE on the iPad, and the hotspot just comes with it. So never mind. I'm not going to drop the hotspot. See, this is what happens when you talk things through and you realize what you're actually talking about. So the last item on my hit list was, you know, the AT&T. Check it out. If you've got more than one phone and you're not on the shared data plan, you should check it out. There might be more to it. You never know. There's always something. It's always different for someone else. But I'd never even heard of it. I checked it out. We're getting way better deal for a little bit less money per month, which is awesome. And basically, you know, 15 bucks a month, it's like 2 Chipotle burritos. And believe it or not, I'm actually going to take my boys out to Chipotle tonight, because I'm back from my trip to Louisiana, and I'm going to take my family out to Chipotle. So that's some cool stuff. So, you know, it's definitely worth checking out. You know, Basecamp, Pen Flip, the Olympus 75 1.8 portrait lens, AT&T shared data plans. And there's also some other really cool stuff, some really cool apps that came out. I haven't had a time to spend a lot of time with them, but I definitely want to mention them. My friend David Bernard came out with Contact Center. It's like this, it's like Launch Center, but for contacts. Some really, really cool stuff. You can do group messaging, you know, predefine the groups, predefine group emails, all this really cool stuff. And then QuoteBook 3 for iOS just came out. I'm a huge fan of QuoteBook. It's such a cool app. You know, big update to that. And then my friend Federico Vitici, his girlfriend and him put together some perspective icons that work with OmniFocus, which is what I use. And it's these custom icons, and they made a new set. They updated them. Really, really cool stuff having your custom, you know, an OmniFocus 2 on the Mac. You've got, you know, the left-hand sidebar. You can have the custom icons for your custom perspectives and contexts and things like that. Some really, really cool ones. So I'm actually using those. I downloaded them this morning, and highly recommend it. If you're an OmniFocus nerd, definitely worth checking out. And, you know, and then they sync over on the iOS versions as well, which is actually really, really clever. So there you go. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And I will be back at it. Monday's a day off because it's the bank holiday. So we'll kick things off on Tuesday, going back to the Power of Focus lifestyle. So have a great one. And once again, final thanks to the show sponsor, Tapes. Check them out at usetapes.com. All right. Hope you have a good one. And I will talk to you guys next week. All right. God bless.